Let's see. Matthew 9, if you have your Bibles. Huh? What? Oh, I'm sorry. Building Blocks is dismissed. Sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, it was going to be one of the Sundays when this morning my wife and I, we had sort of a disagreement. It's because she made lunch, but she was frustrated that I couldn't eat it. But I was frustrated that she made lunch because, you know, I was, so I yelled at her. I was like, I can't eat it. I'm having diarrhea. And I said it really loud. And I got so angry. And I slammed the door into my room and I took a shower to get ready for church to worship God. And in the shower, I was thinking, that's the stupidest argument that we've ever got into. I can't eat lunch she cooked for me because I'm having diarrhea. But if I have to run into that corner, you guys know why, right? Oh, Jesus. All right, Matthew 9. I'm really going to keep this message fairly short. But I think the little that we do have to talk about, I think it's very important for us, okay? Matthew 9, let's look at verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. This is the word of God. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Can I just pray for us one more time? Father, we thank you for this time together, regardless of what our week's been like, regardless of whether we're just coming back from a missions trip to studies or just work or the same old, we know that you are a faithful God. Not only are you a faithful God, but you are a God who is doing something new. And so I pray that you will continue to write your story into our lives and bring about that revelation of the new thing that you are desiring to do. Open our eyes, God, and open our ears so that we don't hear these words just with our physical ears, but then we can hear your words speak to us, God. So we thank you for this time together, and we ask that the word of God go forth and that it will bear much fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're concluding our series on stewardship that we've been talking about, right? So for the first part, we talked about biblical stewardship, and then we talked about stewarding God's resources. And then last week, we took a break. And today, we want to finish by stewarding the vision that God has for us, right? We've been talking about stewardship, not just in terms of how we spend and how we give, but really stewardship with this understanding that the purpose that God has built into our lives, that there is a specific purpose that he has built into our lives, and that he is calling us to live it out by fulfilling the goals that he has for us, right? So stewardship, it's not just about management of resources, but it's about understanding who God is, understanding who we are, what we were created for, and living that purpose out every single day. And so we've been talking about how you fall into three categories when it comes to stewardship. First of all, you can be a squanderer, right? You can manage your resources well. You can manage your time well. You can be successful, but in God's kingdom, you can still be a squanderer if you don't live for the things that God has placed in your heart. If you don't live for the gospel, that you can squander away the vision that God has placed in your heart. Or you can be a spender. In other words, you can embrace everything that God has for you, but if you are not being connected to God relationally, then as you begin to give, then there's nothing more for you to give. Eventually you become empty. And so you spend, but you're not being replenished. And the last category, which all of us, we want to fall into, is the category of being a faithful steward. Is that not only do we learn to give and manage the resources well, but then we are being connected to the heart of God, so being refreshed and renewed every single day, right? So today we want to finish off the series by talking about stewarding the vision that God has spoken into our lives and into our church. So there's two simple observations that we want to make from these verses. And then after that, I want to talk a little bit about how this applies to us, and then we'll close out with that, okay? All right, so the first observation that we want to make simply is the labor of the gospel, right? The labor of the gospel, and we see that in verse 35. Verse 35 says this, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." That verse there, 35, it's literally talking about the life of Jesus, because that's what he did. When he started his ministry, he made it very clear that he came to what? To heal the sick. He came to proclaim the liberty that God has for them. He came to call people to repentance. He came so that people would have an encounter with the kingdom of God. A realization that the kingdom of God, that it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about how much you tithe. But it's about loving God with all of your heart. And it's about loving your neighbors as you love God. And so that verse there, 35, it's describing Jesus' life and his ministry. Right? So he went to the cities and villages, and as he went, he taught and he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. And as he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, he healed every disease and every affliction. And so the thing that I want to point out to us there is that it's really through Jesus and his ministry that the message and the demonstration of God's kingdom was made known to others. And when I think about the labor of the gospel, it's really through us that the message and the demonstration of the gospel will be made known to others. And so when I think about the big challenge for us of what it means to steward God's vision faithfully, it means that we have to engage in the labor of the gospel. It means, first of all, that we have to go. That Jesus went to all the cities and villages. And when the author says all the cities and villages, what he's trying to communicate there is that Jesus didn't necessarily overlook certain people or certain places. That he went to where the people were. And as he went to where the people are, not only did he proclaim truth, but then he was also able to demonstrate that truth through healing and setting people free from affliction. And so it's really going to be through every single one of us that God is going to allow this vision of the gospel to go forth, which means that our lives, it has to replicate the life of Jesus. And I think that's really the awesome thing about coming together as a church every single Sunday. Because as we come together as a church, God recalibrates our hearts so that as God sends us out, we are able to go into all different parts of this city and this campus that other people would not be able to go into, right? I was thinking about it, like, for me to go to your workplaces on Monday, it's probably not possible because I don't work there. So I don't know if I would even be allowed to actually enter in through the doors. But if somehow I got passed through the security and started wandering around the offices and started randomly talking to people, eventually they'd be like, does that guy work here? Right? Like, you're able to actually go into places that I would not be able to go into. Same thing for students. And so every single one of us, we have a unique call to take the gospel and proclaim it to a specific group of people that God is calling us to, which means that we have to be very intentional in our labor, that we have to be purposeful, that we have to see those opportunities as an opportunity for us to labor in the gospel. So that it's not just I go to class on Mondays, or it's not just I drive to work, but it's I go to class so that I can labor in the gospel. I drive to work so that I can labor in the gospel. I mow the lawn and talk to my neighbor so that I can labor in the gospel. Regardless of where we are and what we're called to do, we're called to steward over our testimony. And it's a testimony that God is writing into our lives, so that through that testimony that he is able to proclaim to others of this saving grace. So we see the labor of the gospel, but not only that, we're going to close with this. The second point is that we see the challenge of the gospel. We see the challenge of the gospel in verses 36 through 38. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Right? So not only the labor of the gospel, but there are challenges as we engage in this labor. I think the first challenge is to be able to see like how Jesus saw. In verse 36, it says, for when he saw the crowds, and when you think about the crowds, it was a mixture of people. It wasn't just people in need, but it was a mixture of people. Some people came because they had need. Other people came because they were curious. Some people came because they were poor. Other people came because they were actually probably well-to-do. But my point is that it was a mix of people, and so it would have been so easy for certain people to say, you know what? I feel like maybe these people, they don't need Jesus as much as these people over here. But what he saw wasn't the external, but what he saw was the heart. What he saw was the struggles that was going on inside, because when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because he saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It wasn't that in that place they were being harassed by others. Right? It wasn't this crowd of people and all of a sudden other people were coming and harassing them saying, hey, you, get out of here. But he saw the internal state of their souls. And what he saw was a group of people who were helpless. A group of people who didn't know where they were going. Group of people who didn't know their purpose. So the challenge is, can we see people, not what we see on the outside, but can we see them as people who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd? Because you can have everything put together, but you can still be like sheep without a shepherd. Can we have compassion the way that Jesus had compassion? And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And there's many things that we can point out there. But the one thing that I want to point out, and then we'll close with this, is that as we begin to pray for the harvest, because Jesus makes it very clear that the harvest is plentiful. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but he says, yes, the harvest is plentiful. So the problem isn't that the harvest is plentiful, but it's the workers that are few. And so Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out, which means as we begin to pray that there's going to be a cost involved. And ultimately, I think that's really the challenge of the gospel. That there is a cost involved in us proclaiming this gospel and making this gospel known to others. There's a cost involved, even in stepping out in faith, to see others through the eyes of compassion. Because when you see them through the eyes of compassion, that means that you can't settle for the status quo. That means that you can't just go on as business as usual. In that moment, you have to make a choice. That choice is you either ignore the internal state of their souls and you either ignore God's desire and his purpose for them, or you actually take that step of faith and say, God, I don't know what it's going to cost me. I know it's going to cost me. But I want to be involved in what you are doing. And that's the greatest journey. And you know the incredible thing about going to Peru, this is our second time going to Peru since we've gone a long time ago. One of the greatest opportunities that we have of going to Peru isn't the ministry opportunities per se, although it was incredible, right? For 2 days, we were able to go to the city the name of the city was Trujillo, and we were able to put wheelchairs together and pass them out. And man, some of the people, it's just really heartbreaking to hear some of their stories of, you know, going without years and years of not being able to move. And those are great moments where you can see the gospel being lived out through the local church. But I think for me, what's even a greater testimony is not just these ministries that we're involved with, but actually the people that we're doing the ministry with, the people of Camino de Vida, and the brothers and sisters in Christ who make incredible sacrifices to do the work of the gospel. The challenge of the gospel is that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I think the reason that the workers are few is because the cost of engaging in that work is high. And so the challenge of the gospel isn't just praying that God will send workers out into the harvest field, but I think really the challenge of the gospel is to pray that as God prepares the laborers, that he would work within our hearts to allow us to count the cost so that we can be part of that group who will go out to make a difference. And ultimately, I think that's not only what Jesus wanted for his disciples, ultimately that's what the disciples experienced even in their own lives, that they paid with their lives for the privilege of proclaiming the gospel. So when I think about what it means for us to steward God's vision, first of all, it means that we have to raise up people who will actively engage in this labor of the gospel, right? So practically speaking, the labor of the gospel and the challenge of the gospel, what does that mean? It means that we have to continue to produce disciples, that we have to continue to challenge one another, that we are actively sharing the gospel. And that's why, I don't know if your life group leaders have shared with you the specific purpose for this Lent season, right? Then we want to be actively engaged in making the gospel known. And hopefully as life groups, you guys were able to come up with some goals. Maybe some things that you guys want to see happen. Or maybe taking steps of faith forward, saying, God, I know that it's not going to be easy for me, but I want to be able to take steps of faith forward in sharing the gospel at least once a week. It means that every single one of us, that we have to see ourselves as laborers. And when I think about this, it's not just so that we can continue to grow the church. You know, God's going to be faithful. You know, we had Experiencing Ministry, and I was sharing with them the history of our church, and I was sharing with them the many rough patches that we've hit along the way. And I was sharing with them the roughest patch was around, like, the third year. Right, we were seriously praying whether we should close the church down or not for various reasons. But it's not so that we can have somehow the strong church, but it's so that we can raise up disciples who will be passionate about the gospel. Because it doesn't matter if you have a size of 80 or if you have a size of 800 or 8,000 people, that if their idea of what it means to be a Christ follower is you come to church on Sunday and you worship and have a good experience and then you leave and that's it. But it's every single one of us taking active ownership in laboring, demonstrating, sharing the gospel. It also means that we have to count the cost of what it means to follow. It means that we have to count the cost of what it means to be a church that is mixed like this, of people in different life stages. It means that we have to count the cost of maybe coming to a place where there isn't going to be everything that's available that you would want, but you make sacrifices so that through the cost that you're able to count that others might come to know Christ. It's not an easy journey, but I believe it's a journey that God has called us to walk in. And so when I think about even this upcoming year and the transitions that we're going to be going through, that means that we have to count the cost. But as we count the cost and follow Christ, we're going to believe by faith that he's going to provide for everything that we're going to need. Because it's not about our vision, but it's the vision that God has for our church. That's it. I'm done. Sorry, I can't. Let's just finish here. Can we stand together? Man, if you're visiting us for the first time, I apologize. You're probably thinking, like, what in the world is going on here? But if you could just bear with me for a little bit. It just hasn't been an easy transition coming back from Peru. You know, when I think about like this concept of stewarding God's vision, like when I think about it, it's you. You are God's vision. You know, I know that in our church we have a lot of slogans and, you know, like catchy phrases, which, I mean, it's good. It helps us to remember, like, transforming lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. But when I think about it, none of that really matters to God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that vision is important. Of course it's important. I'm not saying that the mission, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a strategy. Of course those things are very important, so don't misunderstand me. But what's most important to God is you, all the individuals in this room. Because it's not going to be through a five-step strategy or a catchy slogan or a nice video, but it's going to be through as you go out and open your mouth, and as you begin to share with others about what Christ has done for you, that's how he's going to bring about transformation in the lives of others. And that other is important because God loves them. And so I don't mind struggling through this and, you know, standing up here, and you're probably thinking, he doesn't make any sense. If I have to make a fool out of myself today to communicate this, then that's fine. that if you can understand that you matter to God because He loves you, and someone else cared enough to go to where you were to share this life, this message that brought about life into your heart. And now God is calling you to do the same. That's how we're going to steward this vision that God has given us as a church. Right? The challenge that Jesus was giving to His disciples was, will you care enough? God loves you so much. And He has such deep affections for you that He cares for you so much that He would give you the privilege of representing His name to others. And don't squander away that testimony. Don't squander away the opportunities that God gives you to labor. And don't squander away, even in the face of a cost that's involved, because God guarantees it, that there are greater treasures in store for you in heaven. That your greatest joy in life, that it's not going to be about how successful you are or how well your family's doing or how well your kids are adjusted or how happy you are. It's not, none of that is going to matter when everything is said and done. Right? When everything is said and done, when you stand before Jesus, Jesus isn't going to say, well, did you have a happy life? Did you have all the support that you needed around you? Were you comfortable? Did you have success? None of that is going to matter. The only thing that will matter is how well were you able to steward this gift of representing my name. And I look forward to that day that when all of us stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to be able to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. As a pastor, that will bring me the greatest joy in my heart, to know that here are the people that God has entrusted me to shepherd over and to do my best, and that we can all stand around the throne and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So my encouragement to all of us is, let's go. Let's run after God. Yes, transitions come, transitions go. People come, people go. But Christ will always lead us. And His vision for us will never change. And so we look to Him as the author and the perfecter of our faith. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for our time together. Father, we are grateful that despite our limitations, that you are still able to work. And Father, I pray that you'll remind us, God, that your calling for us is so much greater than what we are doing here in this place. But you have actually given us the privilege of partnering with you so that we can win others, God, into your kingdom. And Father, I pray that as we come, and I know that many of us, that we've heard these words before, but Father, I pray that the words of Jesus will ring so true, God, in our hearts, that we can hear him say once again, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God, that as we look around this campus, that we see that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God, that as we look around the city, we see that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we pray, God, to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out. And that's the vision that we want to steward over well, God, of sending workers, God, into the harvest field. Regardless of where that harvest field might be, Lord, whether it's on this campus in our city or even beyond, that we want to send workers out, God, who will be actively and faithfully engaged in the proclamation of the gospel, and that they would be willing to pay the cost. And we know, Lord, that the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if the reality of the gospel sinks deep within our own hearts. And so I just pray for that right now, that the reality of the gospel will sink so deep, God, into our hearts, that it won't be about our own compassion, but it'll be the move of the gospel that will open our eyes to see the harvest field and to see your people helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Open our eyes, God, that we want to hear from you today. Can I invite us to do this? If you can close your eyes and just, can you just imagine just the people that you interact with on a daily basis, okay? This might sound kind of weird, but if you could, maybe like the friends that you interact with or your coworkers, just imagine that environment. Maybe it's the classroom. Maybe it's your clients that you work with. Okay. Now with that picture, see them as helpless. See them as sheep without a shepherd. Because unless they know Christ, that's how he sees them. So before we close with worship and everything, can you just pray for that harvest field that you've just imagined in your mind, all the people, whether it's class, work, neighborhood, maybe some of you, you're thinking about your family members. Can you pray that God will send workers into that harvest field? Okay? Let's pray for that together as a church. And then after a little bit, I'll call us back and then we'll close out, okay? Let's do that together.